Galatians chapter number 6, we're going to read one verse together, verse number 7. Galatians chapter number 6 and verse number 7. If you have a King James Bible, let's all stand and read it together in unison, shall we? Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Dear Heavenly Father, I want to thank you, dear God, for this truth and this principle that you've put not just into nature, but into us, is part of your nature and part of the attributes of thee. And dear God, help us to understand this truth and this principle. And we may not like it, we may not want to agree with it, but Lord, it is true. And the sooner we come to grips with this truth, the sooner we can understand the importance of everything that we do. Please bless now, dear Holy Spirit of God. Thank you for that wonderful Bible study this morning by John. And Lord, please continue to bless now. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Galatians chapter number 6, starting in verse number 1. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something, when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. I'm going to talk to you this morning about sowing and reaping. Sowing and reaping. Verse number 7, be not deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Take a Bible, please, and turn it with me to John chapter number 12, the Gospel of John chapter number 12. And verse number 24. Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth, notice this word, much fruit. What you and I need to do is we need to die to ourselves and live for God. And in order to understand this sowing and reaping properly, if you want to sow something for God, you're going to have to die to yourself to live for God. The word corn is an English word that's used to describe any type of grain. We consider it corn, like the maize. It's a Spanish word, M-A-I-Z-E, but the Spanish is without the E, that the American Indians taught the settlers, the early settlers here, how to plant corn, because corn is indigenous to America. There was no corn in Europe until Christopher Columbus sailed across the Atlantic Ocean. So corn is indigenous to the Americas here. An ear or a cob of corn is actually part of the flower, the whole cob, okay? And an individual kernel is the seed. Corn will always have an even number rows on each cob. Usually, I believe there's 16. There was no corn, as I said, in Europe until Christopher Columbus sailed here, and the pilgrims ate corn at their first Thanksgiving. In the early days of the settling of America, corn was so valuable that it was used as money and traded for other products like meat and furs. There are more than 3,500 different uses for corn, and it's found in peanut butter and in batteries. The starch in corn can be made into plastics, fabrics, adhesives, and chemical products. Corn is a major component in cereals, peanut butter, snack foods, potato chips, marshmallows, ice cream, baby food, cooking oil, margarine, mayonnaise, salad dressing, chewing gum, and soft drinks. Corn is used in vitamins and amino acids. Corn and its byproducts are also found in fireworks, rust prevention, glue, paint, dyes, laundry detergent, soap, aspirin, antibiotics, shoe polish, ink, cosmetics, and the manufacturing of photographic film. That's a lot of uses for corn, ladies and gentlemen. And that's just a few that I've mentioned out of the 3,500 uses that we have for it. 40% of corn, somewhere between 30 and 40%, depends where you read, 30 to 40% of the corn is used for ethanol that they put in gasoline. And 80% of American gasoline is ethanol fuel today. Before World War II, most corn was harvested by hand, like at my house, amen? And just so you understand, the reason why John said in the adult Bible study, sometimes we don't have water in our house is because I'm watering the garden like I was 5:30 this morning. I was about a half hour late this morning, amen? But when the water's in the garden, there's not much water left over for the dishwasher, the washing machine, or the showers, amen? So sometimes the water does run out at our house, like he was mentioning. But one bushel of corn contains 72,800 kernels and weighs 56 pounds. That's one bushel of corn. Corn is America's largest crop and accounts for more than 90% of the total value and production of feed grains. The top corn-producing states are Iowa and Illinois, and both of those two states produce one-third of the total U.S. corn crop. America produces 273-plus million tons of corn. China is second with 208 million tons. Brazil is third with 71 million tons. In 1917, the United States grew about 111 million acres of corn, which is the record in 1917. In 2000, it was down to 79 million acres. In 2010, it went back up to 88 million. But in 1917, America had 111 million acres of corn, and most of that was done by hand, or if not all of it by then, obviously. 1 acre of corn removes about 8 tons of carbon dioxide from the air. 1 acre of corn produces enough oxygen to supply a year's needs for 131 people. In 1906, corn yielded 31.7 bushels per acre. Now, with all the GMO and all the production incentives and technology, in 2008, corn yielded 153 bushels per acre. So it went from 31 bushels to 153 bushels. The United States produces 40% of the world's corn. 87% of all the corn is grown utilizing only naturally occurring rainfall. Think about that. 87% of all the corn that's ever grown in the world uses rainfall only for its moisture. One bushel of corn weighs 56 pounds, as I mentioned. One bushel of corn equals 8 gallons. An ear of corn on the cob, averages 800 kernels in 16 rows. So there are 800 kernels or seeds in every ear of corn. A pound of corn consists of approximately 1,300 kernels, 1 pound. One bushel of corn has 72,800 kernels. 2 ears of corn, which is 1,600 kernels, weigh a little more than a pound. 50 pounds of corn equals 65,000 kernels, which I just happen to have a bag of corn. That's a 50-pound bag of corn, whole corn kernels. 50 pounds of corn, that bag right there has approximately 65,000 kernels. The bag was, how much did you buy it? $10? $9? Depending upon what time of the year it is, you can get them sometimes 9, 10, 11, or 12. But somewhere between $9 and $12 a bag, he bought it for about $10 a couple days ago. 50 pounds of corn, which you see right here, equals 81 ears of corn, which is about 30 to 40, which, I got this wrong, okay. 50-pound bag of corn kernels, watch this now. If you have a pen and paper, you're going to mark this down. This 50-pound bag of corn kernels will produce, you're not going to believe this number, if you plant this whole bag, 104 million other corn kernels. If you divide that by 65,000, because that's how many is in the average 50-pound bag, you come out with 16,000 bags. Multiply that by $10, you come out with $160,000. Let me repeat that, just in case it just flew over your head. 50-pound bag of corn, whole kernels, will produce 104 million, not stalks, not ears of cob, but each individual kernel, 104 million corn kernels. If you divide that by 65,000 kernels, which are in each 50-pound bag, you come out with 16,000 of these bags. So this one bag, if you plant it, will produce 16,000 bags like this at the end of the harvest. Just that harvest alone would reap you, if you were to sell that for $10 a bag, $160,000. This is why the government wants you living in a city and not in the country somewhere with a couple acres. If you've read anything about what's going on in Greece the last 4, 5, 6 years, they have big economic problems because they've taken a lot of money, borrowed a lot of money from the EU, Germany, and now they have nothing to pay it back because they went just about bankrupt because they spent it all, and they can't find jobs. Unemployment's like 20-some percent right now in Greece. People are leaving to go into foreign countries. The young people are leaving Greece because nobody can find a job because, two-thirds of the population, if not more, maybe three-quarters, live in the 3 or 4 biggest cities in Greece. But it's not that difficult because the same country 10, 20, 30 years ago was producing a lot of olives, a lot of sheep and goats and lemons, a lot of grapes, a lot of vegetables, a lot of lemons and oranges and figs. But when you get so addicted to city life, listen to me good, you overlook the natural resources that God has given every single individual that's available to every single person. So when you see just 1 acre of land that you think you got to cut or weed or take care of and it's too much work, I want you to remember 1 acre of corn, what can do. So while you're trying to punch a clock, while you're trying to get paid by the hour, $10, $20, $30, $40 an hour, while you're taking a salary from somebody and slaving away for somebody, I want to remind you what God has available for everybody from one kernel. One kernel. Second Corinthians says this, chapter number 9. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. And he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. You are sowing something. What are you sowing? Whatever you're sowing, you are going to reap it. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give. Not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. As it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor. His righteousness remaineth forever. Now he that ministereth seed, that's a kernel, a corn seed, to the sower, both minister bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causeth through us thanksgiving to God. Luke chapter number 6, verse 38, Jesus said, give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, and shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet, withal it shall be measured to you again. Psalm 126, verses 5 to 6 say, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Now, obviously, Psalm 126 is talking about the very word of God. I'm using this illustration with the 50-pound bag of corn here with God's word and God's people. As Jesus said in John chapter number 12, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. Much fruit. The reason we don't have much fruit is because, number one, we're not willing to die and be buried in Jesus Christ. Job chapter 4, verse 8 says, even as I have seen they that plow iniquity and sow wickedness reap the same. Proverbs chapter number 10 says, the Lord will not suffer the soul of the righteous to famish, but he casteth away the substance of the wicked. He becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand, but the hand of the diligent maketh rich. He that gathereth in summer is a wise son, but he that sleepeth in harvest is a son that causeth shame. Proverbs 11 says this, the merciful man doeth good to his own soul, but he that is cruel troubleth his own flesh. You know why? Because whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. It goes on and he says, the wicked worketh a deceitful work, but to him that soweth righteousness shall be a sure reward. As righteousness tendeth to life, so he that pursueth evil pursueth it to his own death. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. The difference is this. I do not believe in karma, and I don't believe the saying that the world says whatsoever what goes around comes around. That's not a true saying. The true saying is whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. Because God's principle of sowing and reaping is you sow one seed, you're going to get an avalanche back, good or bad. Not one for one. Not if you said something bad to somebody, somebody's going to say something bad to you. Not if you treat somebody unkind, somebody's going to treat you unkind. No. It's not one for one. If you plant a wicked seed, man, you're getting a 50-pound bag of kernels coming your way of wickedness. If you plant a seed of righteousness, a godly seed, a holiness seed, then you're getting a 50-pound bag of godliness and righteousness and holiness coming your way. You want to be a help and a blessing to others? Then you're going to get this coming your way, 50 pounds of it coming your way. It's not the world, what goes around comes around. It's not karma. No. God's principle is whatsoever a man soweth, that. And all that involves sowing and reaping is coming your way. Proverbs 20, verse number 4 says, the sluggard will not plow by reason of the cold. He doesn't want to plow because it's cold out. Therefore shall he beg in harvest and have nothing. You're going to blame somebody else why you don't have anything. You're going to blame somebody else why God didn't bless you. You're going to blame somebody else for making your life miserable. Proverbs 22 says, he that soweth iniquity, shall reap vanity, and the rod of his anger shall fail. He that hath a bountiful eye shall be blessed, for he giveth of his bread to the poor. Hosea chapter number 8, the Bible says, for they have sown the wind, that's what you sow, and they shall reap the whirlwind. Yeah? Yeah, you want to sow a wind? You're going to get a hurricane, ladies and gentlemen, is what you're going to get. You're going to get a tornado. Yeah, but I just did this, Pastor. I did this 5 years ago or 10 years ago. Hey, you are not going to stop the harvest from coming. It's coming. Whatever seed you planted, those wild oats that you talk about, you know, and you laughed about that in that night of pleasure the Bible talks about, it's going to come back to haunt you and haunt you and haunt you, ladies and gentlemen. Hosea chapter 10 says, sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy. So if you sow righteousness, that means you're living right and doing right, you're going to reap in mercy. And I don't know about you, but I need some mercy, amen. How do you get God's mercy? By sowing righteousness. Break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord, till he come and rain righteousness upon you. So God wants to rain righteousness on your harvest, but you got to do some work, ladies and gentlemen. And it takes work to till the ground. It takes work to get a rototiller out there. When I was growing up, we didn't have a rototiller. All we had was a shovel, amen. And I was out there with my mom taking that shovel and turning that dirt over and turning that dirt over and turning that dirt over. And praise the Lord, we only moved twice. But after 2 or 3, 4 years, the ground was soft, amen. And I remember my mom, she'd take everything, eggs and leftovers and scraps from the table. And I had to go out there and I'd bury the food out there, amen. And if I wasn't there, I know that my mom buried the food and the leftovers and the scraps in the garden. So how did you know that? Because when I went out there with a shovel, I'd uncover a plastic bag that had food in it. And I said, Mom, you can't put the plastic bag in the ground. But it's how you have a garden. You take the leftovers and either if you don't have chickens like we do, just give them to the chickens. But if you don't have chickens, you put them in a garden because it's good manure or it's good fertilizer for the garden. Amen. But after 2, 3, 4 years of turning that ground over, it gets soft and it's good. The ground's good. Amen. But it's a lot of hard work. Hey, I got news for you. The Christian life is easy, but it takes some hard work, some hard decisions. You're going to have to wrestle with some things in your mind, in your heart. There's some things you're going to have to give up. You're not going to be able to have a farm and have a garden watching that idiot box all the time. You're not going to be able to get out there and weed the garden, take the stones out while you're watching vanity. You're not going to have much of a harvest in the physical world, and it's going to apply the same thing in the spiritual world, in the Christian world. God says, sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy. In Luke chapter number 8, Jesus said, a sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell by the wayside. And it was trodden down. The fowls of the air devoured it. And some fell upon a rock. And as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns. And the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. And other fell on good ground and sprang up and bare fruit an hundredfold. And when he had said these things, he cried, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Obviously, God's people are deaf, dumb, and blind. And his disciples asked him, saying, what might this parable be? And he said, unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand. Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. One seed. The seed that you have in your hand, the King James Bible, is the word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear. Then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. They on the rock are they which, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. And that which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to perfection. That means you can take some seeds and try to plant them, but if you don't weed that garden and you don't weed it constantly, you're not going to have the vegetable output and the fruit that you should have from it. Likewise in the Christian life. If you're not weeding constantly things out of your life that are not right with God, you're not going to have the Christian fruit, the righteousness fruit, the merciful fruit in your life to show anything that you have any love for God at all or for the souls of mankind. He went on to say, but that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. You can't expect to plant a garden and then show up 3 months later and reap a bountiful harvest. As a matter of fact, sometimes if you read, I did a lot of reading on corn this week. Some corn stalks only produce one ear of corn. Some two, some three, some four, some five, some six. But the average is somewhere between two and three, depending upon what variety of corn you use. And they said this, the only difference of how many ears of corn one stalk will produce is the amount of water and ingredients they have. So that's why we don't have some water sometimes in the house, amen? And that's why sometimes there's no water for the showers or the dishwasher or the washing machine, amen? Because I want to have a good harvest, amen? And so I was a little late this morning when I was out in the garden, 5:30 in the morning, and watering the garden. I'm usually out there about 5 o'clock, 5:15. But I want to make sure that garden, on a day like today when you get 86 degrees, and a day like yesterday we have 84 degrees, I was out there in the morning. You know what I was doing? Before the hot weather was coming up and drying up everything and burning up everything and the heat burning up all the plants, you've got to put water in there, ladies and gentlemen. And ladies and gentlemen, this world's going to heat you up and burn you up if you don't get the water of the Word of God in your soul, in your mind, in your heart on a daily basis, ladies and gentlemen. And the Word of God, the seed, will not grow in you unless you cultivate it and take the stones out and weed your life. Because God's principle of sowing and reaping not only applies to the physical harvest of the field, but applies to your life as well. God said in Malachi chapter 3, will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Here's what he says. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse. That's where you keep the corn, the feed, the seeds. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, and there that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive it. There won't be room in your barns to receive all this if you do what God tells you to do. And that's why, this will be good. That's why God has blessed some of you that have given faithfully. And that's why God's cursing people who tip God, steal from God, rob God, and spend their money for things that are naught and give it to the world. And you wonder why your finances are messed up. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. Again, don't expect to start sowing now and have some corn next week. Don't expect to put the tomato plants in this week and expect tomatoes next week. It takes a whole harvest, a whole summer of weeding and watering and keeping it to produce the right kind of fruit. America is reaping exactly what she has sown. Years ago, when people laughed and mocked at God's preachers and men of God of impending doom, they never realized the destruction that would happen to this country the way it has. While folks turn their backs on Jesus Christ for salvation, they have received eternal damnation. While families stayed away from God's house and the old-time religion in search of for ease and pleasure, they have now reaped the devastation that has visited them. While people said they could not obey God's command to give, to help the gospel get out around the world and support foreign missions, their love of money and hatred of God has now come back to haunt them. Their children are lost or they are worldly. Their offsprings are the sodomites and feminists and anti-Christian socialists who are destroying this country and our society. While dad and mom laughed at the preacher for being too strict and too loud and too long, they have now found themselves in family court, separated, divorced, remarried, 2 times, 3 times, 4 times. Their children are confused and have no idea what love and stability is. When parents left God's house because they did not like what the preacher said about how to rear children, they are now visiting their sons and daughters in jails and prisons. They thought spanking their little one was too mean and too harsh. Now they are receiving the reaping of sparing the rod because they thought they loved their child. Many a child of a born-again parent is sitting in jail or prison or a detox center somewhere because their parents didn't think they had to read their Bibles with them every day. The parents didn't think they needed a private daily devotional time of prayer with their children every day. The many hours spent in front of the television has now come to fruition. The many years spent in a government school teaching their children they came from monkeys and that there is no God, and that now has its devastating effects upon the minds and hearts of children who were born to saved parents. And while those parents want to blame the president, the governor, the mayor, the Congress, the Supreme Court, the preacher, the Sunday school teacher, the government school teacher, the neighbor, or everyone else, they will realize at the judgment seat of Christ that they were the ones that allowed these wicked seeds to be planted in their own children. And now these seeds have been watered and have grown like uncontrollable weeds that have overgrown the garden and have choked the very word of God. You will not understand the principle of sowing and reaping until you have your very own garden and start from scratch. Till the garden, start from scratch and till that garden and plant those seeds and water your garden and weed the garden and water and weed and water and weed and water and weed. Just like your garden needs constant attention to have the right harvest, your children need constant attention to be what God wants them to be. Hey, mama, go ahead and disrespect and dishonor your husband in front of your children. You are planting the seed, and just one seed, of rebellion. You are planting the seed of contempt in your own children. You cannot see it when they're only 3 or 5 years old, but you will see the reaping of your stubbornness and your disobedience in your own children 10, 20, 30, 40 years later when that harvest comes to fruition. Hey, teenager, go ahead and disrespect and disobey your parents. Go ahead, mock and laugh and sneer. Put your hands on your hips. Roll your eyes. You'll remember one day when you have children of your own and your children will do the exact same thing, only tenfold or 100-fold or 1,000-fold to you also. America's churches are dying today because the people of God have believed the lies of pastors who have perverted the word of God, especially for repentance and the very words of Almighty God. And then we wonder why we have no revival. I'm not looking for a big crowd. Listen to me, what I'm going to say clearly today. I do not need a big crowd. You know what God needs? God doesn't need a big crowd. He needs one kernel to die. You get one kernel to die, and you'll have a revival right there, ladies and gentlemen. You get one kernel that's not willing to do anything except what God says, and I promise you, you'll have revival. But the reason we don't have revival is because the weeds of the churches in the world are choking us out. And you're afraid to stand for God. You're afraid to speak for God. You're afraid to live for God. You're afraid to die. That's why we have no revival. I'll remind you, as Jesus said, the harvest is still white, ladies and gentlemen. People are ready to be saved. Oh, I know the vast majority may not like it, especially in America, especially in the Northeast, but the harvest is still white, ladies and gentlemen. They are still waiting to hear the gospel from you. We would have revival if God's people believed God instead of man. But men have planted seeds of doubt and disbelief in the minds of God's people today all across America. And thus God's people are not going soul winning. God's people never share the gospel with lost people. God's people are powerless. I say to you, believe what God says and disregard what man says. I don't care what the title of man is. Disregard man's word when it contradicts the very word of God. It is no shock to me why the suicide rate is breaking all-time records. It is no shock to me why the family courts and criminal courts and civil courts are busting at the seams and litigation is a booming business in America. It is no shock to me why the jails and prisons are overcrowding today. It is no shock to me why the venereal disease is so rampant in America. It is not a shock to me why Americans are killing their babies, a million plus a year slaughtered in the womb every single year. It is no shock to me why the sodomites from San Francisco to Washington, D.C. have taken over the airwaves, taken over the government public schools, and taken over the federal government and state governments. It is no shock to me why the anti-Christian socialist politicians and people want to disarm Americans and enslave them to atheistic communism and Marxism and to bring them all into subjection of a one-world government and a one-world religion. The reason it's not a shock, because that's what one seed will do if you let it go. One seed. But we can't see that far in the future. All we see is just one seed. What will it do? You've never seen a crack grow from winter to winter, have you? You've never seen a crack on a sidewalk that doesn't get filled. And one year, it's only maybe an eighth of an inch wide. You look at it next spring, and that thing will be a quarter of an inch wide. You look at it next spring, and it'll be about quarter or three quarters of an inch wide. You look at it a couple more years, it'll be 2, 3, 4 inches wide. You know why? Because every single year, that rain will go in there, and it'll freeze. And yet, the power of ice is unbelievable. And that thing will just crack the cement and the concrete like you have no idea how. Just let it go. Let it go. And that's what's happened to America. Just let it go. Let it go. Let it go. That's what's happened to your families. Just let it go. Let it go. Let it go. That's what's happened to our children. Just let them go. Let them go. Let them go. And now we're reaping the whirlwind. It's no shock if you understand the principle of sowing and reaping. You are going to sow exactly what you reap. So, if you're kind, you will reap kindness. If you're considerate and you love people and you love God, you're going to reap that. If you're patient and you're forgiving and you're merciful and gracious, you're going to reap exactly what you sow. If you put others first, hey, this is why we have an epidemic in our country with the nursing homes, one of the biggest booming businesses in America. Yeah. I'm not saying all of them. Don't misunderstand me. I know there's exceptions. But I've got to tell you, my personal opinion is 80 to 90% of those people cared about having a life of pleasure, vacations, and not taking care of their kids. You mark her down. You mark her down. You want to be critical and harsh and short and angry and selfish and lazy and self-centered? Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. You want to put others first? You want to have a cloak of humility and live a life of charity and being helpful to others and volunteering to do things for others and supportive and encouraging? You're going to reap it. You want to be stubborn and judgmental and rebellious and disobedient? You don't want to listen to anybody else, never take advice, no counsel. You want to be contemptuous, you want to get upset and agitated, you're going to reap it. Yeah. You want to be thoughtful, you want to be a friend to somebody, you want to be faithful to the end, you want to be loyal, you want to be concerned about other people, you want to be available when the need arises, you're going to reap that. You want to be somebody who can be trusted or respected. You want to be somebody who's wise? You want to plan ahead? You want to live an honest life and speak honest words? You want to be straightforward and brave and responsible? Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. But if you want to be overbearing and inconsiderate, you don't care to remember things and forget on purpose, you want to deceive with your mouth and your lips, you want to be foolish and arrogant, you want to exaggerate and lie all the time and sarcastic? You want to be short with people? Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. You want to be impatient, dishonest, unkind, unmerciful, unforgiving? You don't want to help anybody? You want to be a discouragement instead of an encouragement? You want to complain about what's going on and foolish and unfaithful? You want to be a coward and spineless? You want to quit and be called a quitter and a deserter? This guy that we just got back from Afghanistan ought to be put against the wall and shot. Amen. But that's why you have a treasonous, listen to me good, America today. Right. That rewards treason. All these attributes, the good and the bad that I just mentioned, will come back to haunt you, to curse you, or to bless you. Either in this lifetime or at the judgment seat of Christ, where we shall receive all our rewards then. It all depends on what kind of seed you want to plant in your life and what kind of seed you personally choose to be. My suggestion to you is that you start a new crop of seed planting right away, so the new righteousness harvest will overshadow all the wicked, evil seeds that you have planted in the last 10, 20, 30 years of your life. There's not much you're going to be able to do. Wherefore should a living man complain? A man for the punishment of his sins. There's not much you're going to be able to do to stop the harvest that's coming from the sinful, wicked seeds that you planted the last 10, 20 years of your life. They're going to come. Mark her down. The best thing you can do right now is start planting some righteousness seeds. Start planting some merciful seeds. But be careful. I'm not going to go through this morning, but you can lose your harvest even though you planted good seeds. Doesn't work the same thing with wickedness, because those wickedness seeds are going to come up. Those sinful seeds are going to come up. But even if you plant righteousness seeds and merciful seeds and kindness seeds, you know what? If I walked away from my garden three weeks from now, all that work that we've done will go to naught. No water, the sun will dry up everything. It'll burn up everything. We won't even get, listen to me good, we won't even get 1/100th of the harvest that we could have gotten if I kept the garden every day, if I weeded it every day, if I gave it water every day. So if you want a good, bountiful harvest of righteousness, my suggestion is you better read your Bible every single day. My suggestion is you better get on your knees and pray every single day. So that harvest that you're asking God for down the road, as you're planting these seeds every single day, will come to fruition and far, far outdistance and outweigh whatever harvest of wickedness that you had sown the last 10, 20, 30 years of your life. God just needs one kernel for a revival. Just one. Just one kernel. I just read this week, Americans average now 1.86 children per family. Americans need 2.1 just to stay even. Europe's got a big problem because they're shrinking. I think Europe is down to 0.6 or 0.7 or 0.8. They are shrinking so fast, and this is why they have such an influx of immigrants from all over Saudi Arabia, the Middle East, Afghanistan, Pakistan. They're flooding England. They're flooding Germany. They're flooding France. They're flooding. And so the only reason their population is either stable or growing is because, not the Europeans, is the illegal immigrants. That's happening to America. You know what's happening to America? We stop sowing righteousness. And we are about to reap. We're reaping it now, but you wait, it's going to happen in the next 5-10 years. We're going to reap the onslaught, the tidal wave that you think is not going to come, that this preacher's just blowing a hot air. If one person wins one soul, you know what D.L. Moody said? He knew John Wanamaker, who, when I was growing up in Philadelphia, John Wanamaker was the biggest department store in Philadelphia areas. D.L. Moody said this about John Wanamaker. John Wanamaker would never let 24 hours go without him witnessing to at least one individual. That means 365 days, the multimillionaire John Wanamaker, who gave millions, this is back 100 years ago plus, the man who gave millions to foreign missions while he was in America, witnessed to at least one person every single day of his life. If you win one person once a month, that's 12 souls a year. That's 12 people get saved a year. If two persons each win one, that's 24 people a year. This is just once a month. If three people win 36, one person a month, that's 36 souls a year. If 50 people win one person a month, that's 600 souls a year. If 100 people in Grace Baptist Church win one person a month, that's 1,200 souls a year. You can extrapolate that out further, too. So when you see the devastation that's coming to America, and you see these politicians and these lying socialists who want to take your freedoms and liberties away and take your guns away and take your freedom of speech and freedom of religion away, the reason they're doing that is because we are not sowing. The enemy is sowing tares. And they're reaping the bountiful harvest of those tares. While God's people are more interested in ease, in pleasure, in vanity. And America is sowing exactly what she has reaped, ladies and gentlemen. So you do what you want. Your life is your own. But here, you know what Jesus said? A corn cannot grow unless it dies. A corn cannot be used until it's buried. I suggest you die and you live for Jesus Christ. And you will be surprised just from you alone. Not in a week. Not in a month. Not in a year or two. But you be faithful and you keep it. And this is the kind of harvest you'll have after a while. Sure, it might be hard work. You'll sweat. Have to weed a lot. Get a lot of stones out. You've been in the hot sun. Get a lot of water. A lot of praying. A lot of reading the Word of God. A lot of church time. But this is the harvest right here. It's right there, right there, right there. God's people could have revival. But you have to plan it right now for revival to come 10, 20 years from now. Let's all stand. Dear Heavenly Father, woe be unto us, dear God, how we have shirked our responsibilities. And we're living in a land that has their conscience seared, the hearts are hardened. As we read in the parable that you mentioned, that you spoke about, the fowls of the air come and take in the seed. Dear God, I'm not saying it's easy. I'm not saying it's difficult. I am saying it might be difficult at times. But our job is to get in the harvest. Our job is to till the ground, break up the fallow ground. Our job is to plant those seeds. And our job is to water it and till it and weed it. And Lord, if we're faithful in keeping that, you have promised, according to thy word, that they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. Whether it's children, whether it's righteousness, whether it's holiness, whatever the subject is, dear God, you have promised to bountifully bless that in number-wise. I've got to think that the reason you've blessed our church, dear God, with all that we've gone through the last 27 years, because people in this church are concerned about lost people. I thank you, dear God, that you've given a burden to these folks to care about lost people and where they're going to go when they spend eternity. And I pray, dear God, if there's anybody in this room that's not saved, I pray, dear God, dear Holy Ghost of God, that you speak to their heart and break their heart today. May they realize if they reject Jesus Christ today, they're going to reap for all eternity the pain and suffering and damnation of eternal hell. What a price to pay for the one seed of rejecting Jesus Christ. Oh, dear God, please have mercy. Speak to our hearts, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Whatever your need is, you come and do business for God.